All right, I'm just going to try to get comfortable. You guys all do the same. Settle in. Find that really comfortable position in that plastic chair. Oh, there it is. Feels good. Hey, good morning. It is super exciting to be with you this morning. And before I even jump into anything else, I need to tell you a story about what happened to me yesterday, because it was challenging. Challenging is the word I'll choose. So yesterday, the adventure began with those same words that every young father fears. Hey, honey, you can take care of the kids by yourself for a while, right? Kids in the plural. If you don't know me, my name is Chris Burton. I have the world's most wonderful wife and two beautiful, recently both very mobile children. So my son has been mobile for a little while now. He runs, he has a little cycle he likes to ride on. He's very active. And my daughter, in the last, I don't know, month or so, learned to crawl. And she didn't, like, learn to crawl, and now she's kind of, like, settling in. She learned to crawl sprint. Like, I don't know how she does it, but she can do 100 meters in 12 seconds in a crawl. So you can understand my trepidation whenever my wife said, hey, I'm going to go to a meeting tomorrow. I've got this thing scheduled from a while ago. And this was Friday night, so she's telling me, you know, hey, I'm going to go to this thing, and I'm going to be gone from, I don't know, something like 9:45-ish till, I don't know, 5-ish. And my daughter is still nursing, and so you're going to need to go ahead and get the kids to me at least one time so that our daughter can eat, and then you're going to need to put them back in the car and bring them back to where you are. So, everything was going fine. I was taking care of the kids. Everybody was okay. I started getting us ready to go to meet Jennifer where she was early, because I thought this is going to be a process, you know, and I want to avoid as many tears as possible. And so I'm getting everybody ready to go, and we're good. I've got Eden, my daughter, in her car seat. I'm carrying her. I've got Cohen's bag of stuff. I've got his water, and I'm like, got my hands pretty full, and so then I'm like, hey, buddy, let's go to the car to my son, Cohen, and he's like, no, I want to ride my bicycle, to which I said, well, okay, let's work together on this. Let's ride your bicycle to the car, and so he said, okay, and so we're headed out the door, and we make our way to the lift, and we get into the lift, and I'm like, oh, praise God, this is going okay, and that's when things started to fall apart, because as we're like, the lift arrives at the ground floor and we're about to leave the lift, I'm like, okay, I know what to do here. Because Cohen's not going to want to leave the lift if I'm like pushing him from behind. But if I just kind of lead the way, Mother Duck style, then he'll follow me and it'll all work out fine. It did not work out fine. So I am like getting out. I'm like, okay, buddy, come on, let's go. And so I'm bringing, you know, the stuff that I mentioned before, and I'm walking, and I start out of the lift, and I'm thinking, okay, what I'll do is he's going to be coming on his bike, and the parking lot's there, and that's dangerous, and my hands are completely filled. So I'll say, come on, buddy, let's go. And then I'll run quick to the car. I'll open the car. I'll put Eden in her car seat in the, like, where the driver seat is, and then I'll run back, and I'll be there to shepherd him lovingly across the places where it could be dangerous and to the car, and we're all going to be fine. So I do what I planned. I run ahead. I get the car up, and I throw Eden in. Everything's fine. And I run back for where Cohen should be, and he's not there. And I think, okay, there's one of two potential realities here. Either he is on his little cycle somewhere where cars can hit him, or he never got out of the elevator. In which case, he's safe, but I'm sure he doesn't feel that way. So I look at all the places where he could be. He's not there. And so I just start listening. And I've looked at the lift, and it says we live on the first floor. We went down to the ground floor. On the lift sign thing, it says 7, as in the lift is now on the 7th floor. So I try to listen real carefully, and I can hear... And intermittently, it is getting louder, right? Because it'll be like... Like, it's a little muted when the doors are closed. But when the doors are open, it's louder, right? So I'm like, okay, well, I know where he is. I need to go retrieve him. And so I start... Fortunately, like, the thing has started to come down or whatever. And so I run up to the first floor... where I live, because at this point, I'm sure that if anyone is with him, they have hit one on that lift, and they're like, we know where your parents live, and we are going to get you to them as quickly as possible. So I run upstairs, and the door opens, and there's this little girl. She must have been, I don't know, 12 years old, and she's got Cohen by the hand, and he's still on his cycle, screaming, wailing, completely despondent, and she's like, it's okay, I'll take you to your mama. And I go, hey, buddy, I'm right here. And she goes, oh, look, it's your daddy. And he goes, and just continues to do so. And it's okay, buddy. And they're out of the lift. And I'm like, okay, buddy, but now we got to go back in the lift because you're still on your cycle. So, you know, he thinks he's safe. And then we go back in. But anyway, I, you know, pick him up and we go downstairs and I get him to the car. And as I'm carrying him, I go, buddy, I love you. You have got to come when daddy calls you. When daddy calls you and says, come on, buddy, we got to go, you have to come with daddy. To which he responded, for a while longer. But he worked out fine, and we all made it safely to where we needed and back, and praise God we're here. But there was a problem with my calling. My calling of Cohen was not effective. I called him, but he didn't come. And this morning, at the text that we're going to look at, we're going to see that God's calling is a little bit different. You see, when God calls, the effect is incredible. So let's go ahead and pray together before we dive into God's word. God, we come to you this morning as your kids whom you've called. And we are yours by the power of your word. And so, God, we come to you as you've called us, and we worship you. God, now prepare our minds and our hearts and our eyes that we might see your truth and receive it, and that we might worship you as you deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so this morning we are going to be in Jude. Jude. So if you are familiar with Jude, you can start heading there. If you are not familiar with Jude, but you have a copy of God's Word with you, just start at the very back. Flip your Bible over, and then start flipping back through Revelation backwards. But do it slowly, because Jude is a one-chapter book. It only lasts 24 verses. And so if you're flipping quickly, you might miss it. It's easy to do. If you have a digital copy of God's Word, just use your thumb, go down to the bottom, right before Revelation, click on Jude. And this morning, we're actually only going to be in the first two verses. Verses 1 and 2. In your Bible, it may say salutation or greeting or something of that nature. It's, you know, according to the times, I suppose, Jude's way of saying, hey guys, what's up? And then he's going to go into God's Word and deliver a message. But I think that oftentimes we skip through these greetings, just kind of read past them, and I think that it would be very valuable for us this morning to just sit in it and walk slowly through it so we can see that every little bit of God's Word has unbelievable value to us, okay? So we're going to go ahead and just read it, and it's right there. So even if you didn't find it, you can quit your quest. It's up here for you. So Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Now, right from the beginning, I think that it's really important that we see how Jude identifies himself. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. So James, if you're curious, we're like James who, maybe. They wouldn't have had that problem back in the first century, about 60 AD, when this letter was written. James meant James, the brother of the Lord. James, the author of James, that James. It was kind of like Madonna, Cher, whoever. I need better references for this group of people, but one name was all you needed. And so James, the brother of the Lord. And so Jude is so humble. He says, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother to James. Well, who's James? Well, James is a brother of Jesus. So Jude, using the transitive property, is therefore also a brother of Jesus. But he doesn't even bring it up. And this brings us to an important principle. Our primary identity is not biological, it's spiritual. And so when Jude identifies himself as a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, as opposed to Jude, a brother of Jesus Christ, your Lord, we see that Jude gets it. That his primary identity is spiritual, not biological. And it's the same for us as well. Now, this has lots of implications for us. Suppose for a second that you were born into a very high caste, very important family. It would be easy for you to think, this is who I am, I'm very important, this is who my parents are, my relatives, etc., etc. But Jude is a brother of the Lord. But he recognizes that the importance in that sentence isn't on brother, but is rather on Lord. That the Lord is his Lord, and he is his servant. So if that's you this morning, you're coming from a background of importance. Know that your primary identity isn't forged by how important other people might see you are, but rather that you yourself are a servant of the King. Let's flip the script. Suppose for a minute that you come from a family that is not highly regarded. Suppose that your father is a drunk or an abuser. Suppose that he's a cheat or he's in jail. The shame of that might be significant in your house, that you don't like to talk about it, you don't like to go out, you don't like to see anybody because of the shame that is on your family. I have very liberating news for you, because that's not who you are. Because you are a servant of the King, an adopted son or daughter. And so for everyone in this room, there is an opportunity to see yourself rightly, just as Jude does. It reminds me, in our gym group that meets on Tuesday nights, we have some non-believers who come, and praise God, that's really cool. We get a chance to talk to them about the Word of God, and we have different members in our group, and they all have different gifts, and I am often quoted as saying, you know, somebody will be doing this or that, and in specific, in our group, there's this guy who's sitting over there with my family named Nahum, and I'm often saying Nahum is the most naturally gifted servant of any person I've ever met in my life, and it's true. If you've been around him for like 4 minutes, he's served you. It's crazy. And I remember the first time that I said that in our gym, I said, oh, Nahum, you are such a servant. Thank you, brother, as he was helping with this or with that. And the non-believers in my house were like, did you just call him a servant? I thought that this was like be nice time. And I had to explain to them that this is the truth of our faith, that the script is flipped. To be highly regarded, if anyone wants to be great, he needs to be a servant among you. Something for us to take with us, just as Jude did. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 words That's how far we've made it. So let's continue on just a little bit. To those who have been called. And that comma after called is very important. To those who have been called beloved would be one thing. To those who have been called, comma, beloved, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. To those who are called. And then Jude gives us a little bit of insight to what it looks like, what it means to be called. Think back to my story. For Cohen to be called by his daddy meant almost nothing. But for us to be called by our Heavenly Father means everything. Let's look at what it means. If we could put up Romans 8:30, it's going to help us. It says, and those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What does this mean? How does this work? This is how that means. That God the Father, from before the ages began, before creation occurred, knew and loved his children. And he foreknew them. And he predestined them, and he called them. And those he called, he also justified, made them right in his sight through the sacrifice of Christ. And those he justified, he also glorified, brought them to completion and then in the day of Christ Jesus, and has a place reserved for them in heaven, that each and every step is presented in the past tense. Not because all of these things happened before I have yet to be glorified. There's no glory coming off of me. But they are so certain that they have already, in a sense, taken place. Those who have been called. If you are in Christ today, you have been called. And it is certain and unshakable and unchanging. So let's look at what does it mean to be called according to Jude. We have two pieces of clarification. One is that we are beloved in God the Father. We are loved by God the Father with a forever kind of love, with a can't stop, never changing, undeniable sort of love. That before the ages began, as we talked about a moment ago, he knew you, he thought of you, he loved you, he created you to love you, and then redeemed you. Isn't it encouraging to know that before God said, let there be light, he said, let there be Malaika. Before he said, let there be sky and earth and water, he said, let there be word of grace. What an unbelievable love. And we see this cool pattern in this verse, and we also see it throughout Scripture. You see, it means two things to be called for Jude here. It means that you are beloved, that you are loved by God the Father. It also means that you are kept for Jesus Christ. There's a cool pattern in the Scripture where something originates in the mind of God the Father, and it's brought to completion by Jesus the Son. We see it in creation, that creation is dreamed of God in God the Father, and the actual instrument of creation is Jesus, the eternal Son, the second person of the Trinity. We see it, too, in the doctrine of salvation. Plug, doctrine of salvation. That before the histories of the world began, God the Father planned out redemptive history. And then Jesus came into the world and made it so. And will fulfill it when he comes again. We are kept for Jesus Christ as his treasured possession and bride. What a blessing. And if you wonder how you're kept, as we were waiting for Jesus to return. God has given you his Spirit as a seal. And so we see the Trinity here in Jude. God the Father dreaming up salvation, Jesus coming and fulfilling it, the Spirit sealing us and holding us until the return of Christ. Have you ever been concerned that you could lose your salvation? You were kept if you were in Christ. Amen. So we come to the end of this greeting. And Jude has identified himself and identified us, that he's a servant and we are likewise servants. We should strive to be identifying ourselves as servants of our King, and that we are loved and treasured by our God and kept by our God. And he says, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. What does that mean? As we have started into God's word this morning, and maybe 2 minutes ago when I was explaining the idea of being loved by God the Father from eternity past and being kept by Jesus Christ for eternity future, forever. Maybe you felt something. Maybe you experienced afresh God's love for you. Maybe you, like me, experienced that afresh this morning when we came together and were worshiping the Lord and the Spirit of God was moving and we were crying out to our God in worship and praise to him that our God is a lion and that he fights our battles for us. That is a fresh experience of God's love. That is God's love being multiplied to you. And this is Jude's prayer for you. And in fact, my prayer for you is that as we are kept for Christ and we are growing and being changed and transformed from one glory, shade of glory to the next, that we would continue to have these fresh experiences of God's mercy, his peace, and his love. Let me, in just a very brief way, give you an example from my own life yesterday, whenever everything was seemingly going wrong. When Cohen was missing, while I was certainly concerned, I was confident of my Lord's mercy, that he would take care of me and of him. And I had a peace that stemmed from that confidence that I was experiencing in my moment of desperation, a peace that understood that my King is still King and he is more than competent to care for me and my kids. And in that, I experienced his love. As I heard my son screaming, I knew that he was safe and would be delivered again back to me. In the midst of chaos and difficulty, fresh experiences of God's mercy, peace, and love. That's what we want to pray for each other. So there's one final question that I want to answer. And that is, for those of us who have been called, how were we called? I called out, Cohen, you've got to come with Daddy. Cohen, you've got to come with Daddy. I used my voice. That was the means of my calling. My voice wasn't that effective. But according to 2 Thessalonians 2, 14, the means through which God calls us is something far more powerful. It says he called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to know how you were called? You were called through the power of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. The truth and the news that Jesus Christ has borne your afflictions and your sin, and has suffered the consequences of them, and has been resurrected
as King of all. Lord of lords, King of kings. And because of that news, we have received salvation. And so with me today, I've brought a few of these, a handful. Because if you go look outside right those doors, you're going to see that Ramzan has begun. That, in fact, I believe it was yesterday that was the first day. And if you treasure that which you have received, the love of God, and the fact that you've been kept and are being kept for Christ Jesus, then perhaps we should be praying that others will experience the same. This is an important time for our friends that are hanging out just outside, literally, our own doors, preparing for a feast tonight. It's a spiritual time. It's a time where they are seeking God, seeking his favor. So today, I'm going to close us in prayer that they find him. And I've got a few of these 30-day prayer booklets that are just back on the LAC table that if you want, you can pick one up, take it with you, and you can be praying each and every day, just a short paragraph for our friends that are outside, that during this time of seeking God, that they would find him through the gospel that we ourselves have received. Pray with me. Dear God, we love you because you first loved us. And we are kept by you, and we have access to your throne and access to your mercy and your peace and your love on regular bases. And so, God, we come to you and we thank you for those things. And we ask for more. We pray it for each other that you would give us more of your mercy and your peace and your love, that you would multiply these things out to each and every one of us, that we could be in your presence experiencing these things through the difficult parts of life and through the joyous, worshipful parts of life. And God, we pray it not just for us, but for those also who are outside our very doors, that you would use this time where they seek for God, that they might find you and know you and worship you. God, we pray that you would use us to do it. Use our prayers and use our words as we communicate your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.